There are several public hearings in Hartford on very controversial pieces of legislation, and I want to look at the Education Committee right now and what's being tackled. From House Ranking Member of the Education Committee, Representative Leslie Zupkiss joins us for the first time on air. Representative Zupkiss, thank you so much for joining us. And in your opinion, what are some of the biggest bills being discussed today in bringing the crowds up to Hartford?
Well, hi, Melissa. Thank you so much for having me. I think earlier I was just listening. Y'all listed it all. There are so many big bills today.
So many.
So many.
It's aggressive. I don't know who made the schedule in Hartford, but I'm like, oh, my gosh. I saw the PS line from the executive director or somebody from CGA, and they're like, hey, pack your lunch because the cafeteria is going to be packed today. And I was like, oh, man, who came up with that schedule? Yikes.
Without a doubt, you almost think, you know, why was it stacked like this? So, I actually serve on three of the committees that are meeting today, but my main focus is the Education Committee since I'm the ranking member.
Yeah.
And it is really a not a good piece of legislation.
Okay, so what piece are you talking about?
I'm talking about the equivalent instruction bill. That is the piece of legislation. There is only one that will be heard in education today. And
okay.
So it is regarding equivalent instruction.
So to be clear, because I think there was a little misconception with this, this is not education equity like the ECS funding. You're talking homeschooling.
That bill was heard the other day.
Okay.
The equity bill regarding the ECS formula.
Okay.
Which we had a lot of people testifying on that as well. It was a very late night, but mm-hmm. this is regarding equivalent instruction. And so what that means is it's not necessarily just homeschooling. It is Catholic schooling, private schools, all these other schools that are non-public education systems.
Okay.
And so that encompasses a lot of schools.
So, yeah, absolutely. I know last year, and I don't know if it was the same bill, I would imagine it's not, but I know last year we had probably one of the biggest turnouts in Hartford from the homeschooling community. So I would say just that population alone, I'm sure, is going to come out in droves. But to your point, it's basically anybody that's not in the public school sector. So you're talking charter schools,
yes.
Catholic schools. Okay, gotcha.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, and they've all submitted, I mean, I'm you probably haven't looked, but there are, I would say, close to 1,000. There are so many written testimony. And,
oh, I've looked. Yes. I've looked.
Yes.
That's why I said I don't know how the schedule was shaking out, but man, yes, I did see.
Well,
it was a lot.
Well, unfortunately, the chairs, the Democrats, have limited people's voices. And, you know, on public health, they limited it to 12 hours, and there's 550 people that have signed up to testify. And on the Education Committee, they limited it to 24 hours. And so this is really unacceptable. We are there to listen to our constituents, the voice of the people. And if these bills affect that many people, their voices need to be heard.
And I do want to obviously talk about this bill 5468 that you're referring to for the Education Committee today. But I am curious, Representative Zupkiss, because I had a state senator on actually not too long ago mentioning that they were limiting the time for public hearings. Do you typically see a public hearing? So say for something like this, you've got over 1,000 people who want to testify. Yeah, there's no way you're going to have it done in 12 hours, 24 hours. So do you typically have multiple days of public hearings? Like, is that something that has been done in the past?
Well, I guess kind of my claim to fame is I've been on the two longest public hearings ever. So when I first got elected was the big gun bill and then the original vaccine bill. And it was way past 24 hours. I think one was 27 and the other one, oh my gosh, I don't even remember how long it was. But just up until a couple of years ago, the chairs who have the power to do this have been limiting. And so in education, it's really a problem. The last person that has signed up to testify, it's supposed to be in random order. And so the last person to testify deserves the time and the attention as the first person.
Well, and what is the message, right? I mean, the message is that your voice is heard. You elected us into office to represent the people. And again, you're not going to please everybody. And I do understand that you got to make decisions. And sometimes it's like you got to have a cutoff. I do get that aspect. But when you're talking about things like vaccine requirements or education equivalency, so how your kids should, I mean, these are very basic, I would say, rights of people. If you want to have children, you kind of want to know that you have a say in how your kids are being educated or what shots are going into their arms, right? I mean, so you're not talking about very surface things. So to cut that off, I do understand where, you know, if you're not feeling like your voice is heard, you kind of feel like you're not compelled or like you don't matter. It's a big deal. I agree.
But, you know, but there are ways to do it. Then have a couple of days. Then have, I remember I used to sit on appropriations, divide the committee up and conquer and have two hearings going at the same time. It is our job as legislators to listen to everybody who wants to come up and speak. And if the chairs are going to put forth these bills, as you just said, and affect that many people, then you should expect to have that many people and hear their voices.
Right.
It's just, and they've opened it to Zoom. And so that happened during COVID, and they've never shut that option down. Before, you had to be in person. And so you can't have your cake and eat it too. If you open it up on Zoom and there are many people, listen, it's better to be home and testifying, I understand, than, you know, coming in and taking the day off and all these things. But you either have to open it to Zoom, open it to everyone that wants to testify and listen, or have people come in person and cut Zoom off.
Yeah,
I
get that.
You cannot have it both ways.
No, I don't disagree with you, Representative Zupkis. I don't disagree with you. We are chatting with State Representative Leslie Zupkis, and Representative Zupkis is the House Ranking Member of the Education Committee. And we're taking a deeper dive into Bill 5468. This is an act concerning the provision of equivalent instruction. And as you pointed out before, Representative Zupkis, we're talking about basically anyone who doesn't fall under the realm of public school. That's not just homeschooling. That could be Catholic schooling. That could be charter schools. So tell us what your constituents or people who are opposed to this, what are they most worried about?
Well, I mean, we don't have the time to go through the whole thing. But it's what is equivalent instruction? Who's enforcing it? Who's monitoring it? You pull your kids out to go to a private school. They have to go and be evaluated by a local board of ed. What if it's a boarding school that people from out of state? What if I, as a parent, send my kid somewhere else? And why does my kid, if I pay to, or you pay to have your child go into a private school, they have to go to the local board of educated and be evaluated? And equivalent instruction, let's just start in the public schools. So there's not even equivalent instruction in our public schools. And so I guess what I mean, and then there's a whole DCF component, the Department of Children's and Family Services, how they get involved, the commissioner, her testimony. They can't support this bill. It's a massive unfunded mandate. The schools don't support it. So it is just overall a huge concern for every aspect. So whether your child goes to if my child goes to the public school, I'm concerned because they're not getting equivalent instruction. And so who is to determine? Is it going to be Prospect? What's equivalent? Is it equivalent to Prospect? Is it equivalent to Bridgeport? Is it equivalent to Darien, Greenwich, Waterbury? What does all of that even mean? And so my biggest thing is we have third graders in our public schools. There's more than 50% of our third graders that do not read on a third grade level.
Right.
That is not equivalent instruction. We should be focused on that. We have seniors graduating from high schools that cannot read. And so we don't even have our own house in order. And yet you're going to have people evaluating a child that is outside of the public school system.
Yeah, so I think if I'm reading what you're saying correctly, Representative Zupkis, one of the biggest concerns with this is kind of what's the standard? Yeah, like honestly, yes. what is the standard?
No,
so
for
yeah, so I mean, like, so there's a couple of things, if I can kind of do a little narrative here, that there are parts of it where, as I'm hearing you talk, I think to myself, well, that's already, we haven't figured that out. So for example, if you want to pull your kid out of school and you want to put them into a boarding school or something, you know, there was a report, I was talking to Fran Rabinowitz about this. There was a report talking about special education students taken out of their district, not only to another district, but to out of state, and the abuses that go on. And the number one question I had was, who in the world is recommending these schools? Who is signing off on these schools? And kind of the answer, to just get right to it, is, oh, we don't know. You know, it could be something that the parents are like, hey, we've heard about this school. Is it great? And the district's like, sure, you know, pay for that. Like, we'll pay for that, kind of a thing. But I thought, where's the Department of Ed in all of this? Same thing with, as you mentioned, you know, we're now trying to push changing the reading requirements and all of that for fourth through, you know, middle schoolers. And I think, well, we still haven't figured out K through three. What are we doing? Expanding it, you know? So I hear you totally with what is the gold standard. I will say, though, I do think when you put a huge blanketed kind of piece of legislation, there are things in there that, to me, logically, I can say make sense. So like the DCF component, I didn't hate that part, because I was saying to Senator Perillo that already, as a public school parent, we have to answer to DCF if our kid misses 10 days of school. So like we already have kind of that DCF component. So I wasn't as turned off, and I went to Catholic school. Like I do understand that. But I think there are parts of the bill that, to me, I thought, you know, maybe not a big deal. But to what you were saying, that gold standard, we haven't established that yet. We don't
That's
have
right.
a gold standard.
And, you know, to your DCF point, you know, are we talking about children's safety? Because, you know, the cases that have happened in Waterbury and
New Britain. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, any piece of legislation is never going to stop an animal to do that to their child. It is just horrific.
It
if
is.
You're that evil, you're going to figure out whatever. And so that's a whole different discussion. As far as DCF goes, listen, if you have a substantiated DCF case and you pull your child out of school, they should be followed.
Yes.
I don't think there's anybody that has a problem with that. But I think what should happen is, if you are in the school system and you mandate a reporter and you report to DCF, then the school and DCF are aware of this child, right? If DCF has a case, the school doesn't know about it. So you have little Leslie sitting in school who has, you know, all these problems at home, maybe is not participating or maybe is acting out. The teacher doesn't know why Leslie's doing what she's doing. So I think it should be the opposite. I think that the schools and the DCF should be in communication, and anybody that has a substantiated case in DCF, the school should know. Maybe they don't have to know exactly what it's about, but they should know why Leslie is in a shell and not participating, or why she's acting out.
Mm-hmm.
So the reverse, I'm not a fan of, but what I just said, I think makes total sense.
Yeah.
For so many reasons besides
right.
this.
Right.
Because, listen, we want every child to be safe. There is no question about it. And there are things happening in the public school that are not taken care of in this regard, whether it's teachers. There was one just in Darien, and we're trying to do something on that.
So
I'm glad,
you know what? I tell you, Representative Zupkiss, I know we just met virtually, but my God, you're reading my mind. It's pretty wild. So that was one thing I was going to bring up. This has nothing to do with this legislation, but only because, again, you are the House ranking member on the Education Committee. You've sat on it for a while. I'm curious if there's any discussion. So I was talking to a cop about this the other day, because there's a bill, which I'm totally for, if you're going to have a retired police officer now work as a resource officer, you know, an armed guard in a school, you got to check their record. If they had any issues, like if you go to one department to another, they're not going to hire you. But if you get hired by the school, there's now a bill saying, hey, you got to check their record first. Totally makes sense. Absolutely.
Isn't that common sense?
Common sense. It totally makes sense. And listen, I Totally makes sense. My question, though, is for teachers. That Darianne situation makes me so sick. The fact is that teacher, again, innocent until proven guilty, fine. But this person did have a record in two other school districts, and Darianne did reach out, and there was nothing really that came to fruition, essentially. And this guy was able to allegedly do something to another student. And so my question is there any legislation that would be kind of similar to the fact that we constantly are looking at cops and how to fix them? What about when you've got a teacher who has even been implicated of treating a child unfairly, inappropriately? Is there a better system? Are there loopholes we could be attacking? Is that being discussed at all in the Education Committee this session?
It is. It is being discussed. Okay. It's just not in Darianne. There was one in Waterbury. There was a teacher in Meriden.
There's the Bethany situation. The guy who worked in the schools then ended up at the camps. Are you kidding me? The Parks and Rec situation?
That there's another bill regarding that.
Okay.
And so, you know, these are just common sense things.
Totally.
And to me, education is not a partisan issue.
Right.
It should be a nonpartisan issue. Unfortunately, sometimes it turns into partisan issues. And so, those are all things that looked at. So which back to this whole equivalent instruction, there's so many other things that we need to fix in our public schools. Every child in our public school deserves a safe environment, an excellent learning environment. They're our leaders of tomorrow. Those are our most precious gifts, and they deserve equivalent instruction. Whether you're in Bridgeport, Waterbury, Prospect, Darianne, Greenwich, East Haddam, I don't care where you are. And so that to me is really the whole frustrating piece, that there's so much to be done in our public schools for those children that we should not be doing this at this point.
We don't have, like you said, that gold standard yet. And quite frankly, it's one of those things that I talk to my listeners about a lot. So you at home that's listening, how many times do you and I talk about checkmark legislation? This is one of those where we could say, hey, we addressed a problem and we passed a bill that would have a great impact. But in fact, it doesn't maybe do what it's intended to, which is fix an issue, a systematic issue that we have, even in our public schools, let alone any other type of schooling for kids in Connecticut. Representative Zupkis, I want to thank you so much for giving us the time, especially ahead of the public hearing today. Thank you so much. I look forward to seeing what happens up in the Capitol today and talking about it here on the show in the future. Thank you so much.